Track 1. Welcome to the Home Study Course, sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled Child Grief. Our primary intent for the Home Study Course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Jared Baxter. I will be the narrator of this CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of the course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with grief. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes, or if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable, thus we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded them. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint, after you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapists or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapists, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD set, we will discuss such topics as three types of denial, diffusing anger, relief from guilt, murder affecting grieving children, melancholic features, fear, change, adjustment, parental guidelines for trauma, hyperactivity resulting from loss, grief and explaining separation, displacement reactions, delayed grief work, and resolving childhood grief as an adult. So let's get started. On the rest of this track, we will discuss denial. Three important aspects of denial regarding children are how imagination leads to denial in children, death is overwhelming, and natural versus non-productive denial. We will also discuss techniques for coping with denial. As you listen to this track, consider playing it for the parents of grieving clients you are treating. First, let's discuss how imagination leads to denial in children. Faced with more than she could handle, 8-year-old Miranda often used her imagination to step out of the real world into one she found more acceptable. Miranda's father, Jay, age 41, had been killed in a traumatic automobile accident. Miranda, like other children, had great control over her imagination. Therefore, blocking out the unpleasant circumstances surrounding her father's death became a natural way for Miranda to cope with her father's death. Have you found that children may be able to focus on a particular object so well that they block out what is going on around them? For example, Miranda couldn't remember much regarding her father's funeral. However, she was able to draw the casket in minute detail. Would you agree that children who deny their grief by blocking out painful images are prolonging their grief? I have found that a productive way to bring such children back to reality is by gently providing them with factual information. Later, we will discuss coping strategies, which were productive in helping Miranda face the pain of her grief. The second factor relating to denial is death is overwhelming. Miranda's mother, Beth, sought therapy for Miranda after a prolonged period in which Miranda displayed an inability to express the pain of her grief. Miranda was in denial and blocked the memory of her deceased father with her imagination. When Beth explained Miranda's denial, she stated, "Miranda doesn't seem like she is willing to accept that her father is dead. She often tells people that even though her father is gone, he'll be back soon." I stated to Beth, "The finality of death is overwhelming. The idea that her father is never coming back may be difficult for Miranda to grasp. Are you treating a grieving client like Miranda who is in denial regarding the death of a loved one? If so, the following techniques for coping with denial may be useful to help your grieving client." To help Miranda cope with denial and accept the death of her father, I shared with Beth the following techniques for coping with denial. I explained three techniques for coping with denial. The first technique is talking to the child. I stated to Beth, "You may find that talking is the best tool to use when working with Miranda. Remember to use precise vocabulary. For example, dead is dead, not gone on a trip. Also, be honest when answering Miranda's questions, even if that honesty is painful. Asking Miranda questions will help you to uncover the feelings and share your own feelings." The second technique I use for coping with denial is education. In order to educate Miranda, Beth took her to Jay's grave. This cemetery visit gave Miranda the opportunity to mourn and accept the death of her father. Beth also checked out some children's books about death from the library to read with Miranda. Finally, Beth took Miranda on a nature walk. During their nature walk, Beth and Miranda happened on a dead field mouse. Beth used this opportunity to educate Miranda on the differences between alive and dead. In addition to talking to the child and education, the third technique for coping with denial is play acting. I stated to Beth, "Observing Miranda at play can provide insight into what she is thinking. Children often play out life situations. If you see Miranda planning a doll funeral, you know she is starting to accept the finality of death. On the other hand, if Miranda is playing out the return of her father from the dead, more work may need to be done to help her accept the finality of death. Think of your Miranda. Is her denial a natural response to death or a prolonged, non-productive effect of negative grief? What other techniques have you seen parents implement to educate children about death?" A colleague of mine, Evelyn, has extensively studied denial as it relates to the grief process. Evelyn found that though it is natural for the grieving client to be in a state of denial for a period of time, it is difficult to know when the normal period of denial is leading into a non-productive period of denial. As you know, natural denial is generally displaying as a state of shock that someone is really gone. Evelyn states that this state of shock varies from 2 days to several weeks, depending on a number of factors. Some of these factors include suddenness of death, the cause of death, interpersonal communications, and changes in routine. In grieving children, the onset of fictitious or imaginary friends may indicate non-productive denial. Also, children who leave the room whenever the deceased person's name is mentioned may be experiencing a non-productive form of denial. I encourage parents of children in denial to talk privately to their children and ask them questions regarding why they left the room, what they missed about the person who died, and painful emotions. I also encourage parents of grieving children in denial to present caring displays of reassurance. Of course, you already know how important it is to children to feel needed and secure. Think of your grieving client. Is he or she experiencing denial as a prolonged and non-productive effect of negative grief? Could the implementation of the techniques on this track benefit the child? Would it help to play this track in an individual or group setting with the parents of a grieving child? On this track, we have discussed denial. Three important aspects of denial in children are how imagination leads to denial in children, death is overwhelming, and natural versus non-productive denial. On the next track, we will discuss anger. Three important aspects of anger are anger as a manifestation of grief, anger history, and identifying triggers. We will also discuss two techniques for coping with anger. Question 1. What are three important aspects of denial in children?